This is the verse. I chant the Sanskrit before and then we can chant together. Tattva vittu mahabaho guna kama vibhaga yo guna gunesu vartanta iti matvana satya iti matvana satyate. Now we can do the response thing. I will just wait a little so we also have the chance to do that. Tattva vittu mahabaho. Susanne, very much welcome. We cannot do it together because there will be a loop and it will not be synced. So just if you can just turn your mic off and just do that for yourself so that the others don't hear, no problem. So I will just read line by line now, and you can respond in your own time. Just making sure that you all have your mic's muted. How do I do that? So Sunny, your mic is still on as it seems. Anyway, I'll try. Tattva vittu mahabaho guna kama vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matva nasajate. Okay, and we go to the word by word. Tattvavit, the knower of the absolute truth. Tu, bat, mahabaho, O mighty armed one. Guna karma. Don't see that right. Okay, it's better. Of works under material influence. Vibhagayo, differences. Guna, senses. Guneshu, in sense gratification. Vartante, are being engaged. Iti, thus. Matva, thinking. Na, never. Sajate, becomes attached. So here's a translation of this verse by Srila Prabhupada. One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, O mighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work and devotion and work for fruitive results. So here's the purport for this verse. The knower of the absolute truth is convinced of his awkward position in material association. He knows that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and that his position should not be in the material creation. He knows his real identity as part and parcel of the Supreme, who is eternal bliss and knowledge. And he realizes that somehow or other he is entrapped in the material conception of life. In his pure state of existence, he is meant to dovetail his activities in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He therefore engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and becomes naturally unattached to the activities of the material senses, which are all circumstantial and temporary. He knows that this material condition of life, he knows that his material condition of life is under the supreme control of the Lord. Consequently, he is not disturbed by all kinds of material reactions, which he considers to be the mercy of the Lord. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one who knows the absolute truth in three different features, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called Tattvavit. For he knows also his own factual position in relationship with the Supreme. So I'm again reading the verse. One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, O mighty armed one, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work and devotion and work for fruitive results. You can join me in your homes. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadi Shatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadata Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vansha Kalpa Tarupascha Kipa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. So I'm just finishing the screen sharing so that I can see at least some of you, and you can see me apparently. Hare Krishna, Indra and Kundavihari and Oliva and some of you other guys. Yeah, you don't have your screen on. Nice that you're all here, and let's dive into this. What is really, I'm going to go again through the purport a little bit. This is really interesting. I think Prabhupada outlines here some very important aspects of what it actually means to be on a transcendental platform and to actually be in spiritual consciousness. But before that, just a little context. Where does this verse stand? Some verses before, Krishna mentions that there are different people of different kinds of activities that these people do. The one person is working materially, the other person is working spiritually. And he's also saying that we should that a spiritual person does not try to stop others who are working in a material way, but he does actually try to engage them in spiritual work. And he also repeats that instruction one verse later, where he actually says that dear Arjuna, in this case, or it's directed, of course, to all of us. If you're on the spiritual consciousness, don't try to unsettle those who work in on the material platform, but try to engage them in a spiritual way. So, and this verse we are having today here actually describes what that means. And also Prabhupada in his purport, he elaborates on that. So the essence actually, what it means to be in spiritual consciousness is one, it's not the essence, but it's one symptom or one, let's say it's just a fact that someone who is really absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he does not engage him or herself in the activities of the senses and in the material world. And specifically, he or she also does not engage him or herself in sense gratification, in the sense that this person does not focus on that, is not interested in being part of the material world, and is also not feel that I'm a part of the material world. I'm something else. I'm spiritual. And this is also what Prabhupada says. The person is convinced of his awkward position in material association. So someone who is in this consciousness, he or she knows somehow or other this doesn't fit together. It's I'm what I am. I have this desire to be free, to be full of joy, to be full of love. Ultimately, this desire is very, it's like it's hardwired to the soul. We have this, and in the material association, when in our material surroundings, we just feel it's awkward, it doesn't fit, and the circumstances in which I live, they don't in themselves provide me this pleasure, this happiness, and this joy which I'm longing for. So this is known by such a person. Prabhupada writes here that he knows that his position should not be in the material creation. And at the same time, a devotee knows that his real or her real identity is a part or parcel of Krishna. And is my, so one knows my real home, my real like shelter, my feeling of belonging and or like domain where I'm actually am at home is with Krishna and with the Supreme. And of course, at the end, he defines that there's a different way of seeing that. He says that one can see that on different levels. There's one way to see it as, okay, I'm just soul, I'm spirit, I'm somewhat different from the temporary stuff around me, and stuff that is like mixed happiness at best. I'm somewhat different from that. I'm eternal. So that's the Brahman realization. That's one way one can know one's identity. It's quite vague. It's not really personal, but it's a basis. Every devotee has this perception as well. And the second perception is that one feels connected to the all-knowing and all-friendly and totally impartial guide of all creation, which who is in between every atom. He's present everywhere, and he knows my heart, and he is steering all what is happening around me. There's Buddha Varna Prabhu from London. He has this nice acronym which goes like cream with K, not like cream like sour cream or soy cream. It's with K, and it means like stands for Krishna rules everything around me. So this, on a very basic level, this realization means that we can somehow feel the Paramatma. That's the second a level or aspect or phase of knowing one's identity and belonging. And the third is, and Prabhupada also with a side sentence, he puts a little emphasis on it, is the Bhagavan realization, where we actually know, oh, this all-knowing, all-friendly guide and impartial person, he's a person. And he's not that impartial if I look a little closer towards my interaction with him, what he does for me, and what he has done for me, and how he guides me through life. And when I start relating with this person and actually offering things, offering service, offering attention, offering affection, then this realization, it becomes more dense, more personal, and we start to realize that there is actually a relationship between myself and this wonderful, loving person who we call Krishna, and who is in by Prabhupada's mercy, whom we know to be a resident of a cowherd village in Vrindavan. Prabhupada emphasizes this in this last like side sentence that he says, that such a person is called Tattvavit, for he knows also his own factual position in relationship with the Supreme. So this is actually also one magical thing about the purports of Srila Prabhupada. He always emphasizes we have this relationship with Krishna. It's not just There's this Krishna consciousness and this activities that we do, chanting, reading, being with devotees, and this is somehow spiritual life. He always emphasizes that we have a relationship with Krishna, and that bhakti is actually the main thing of what we are doing in this movement. And he also says this in his pure state of existence. That is, the devotee is meant to dovetail his activities in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So this is also such a wonderful expression. I was reminded recently by Adipurusha, who gives this wonderful, well, he gave this wonderful Bhakti Shastri seminar in Goloka Dham. It's on Facebook on the Goloka Dham page. It's about like 20 videos. I can highly recommend it. It's entertaining. It's uplifting. It's very much educating. It's pleasant to hear, even if one is tired. So just a little advertisement for that. And there he mentioned that this word, or this, yeah, this term devotional service in English, or in German it's Hingebungsvoller Dienst, is such a genius translation by Srila Prabhupada of the word bhakti, which indicates that what we do in bhakti is not just a feeling, and it's also not just activity, it's not just service, it's not just devotion, it's both. It's devotional service, it's something from the heart which we express towards Krishna in action. And Prabhupada always, I mean, he uses, if you read his, I mean, everyone, I guess, here reads his books regularly, more or less. Everyone knows that he uses this word so often. Basically, I feel in every purport this word appears. So this is very strong, a very clear understanding of what we are doing. We are offering our devotional service to Krishna. And so I want to dive into a little bit this aspect of knowing. Prabhupada writes in this purport a lot of, he knows, he's aware, he realizes. So that there's different ways of knowing. And what is the word here is tattva vid. Vid means like, yeah, the knower, and vidya is the word for knowing, for knowledge. And often these words are used in the sense of awareness. Actually, it's not just I know something, I heard this in the class, or I can repeat it if someone asks me on the street when I'm distributing books, what is this all about, and you can say it. That's necessary, and it's also very helpful when that we can remember. But there's also this other aspect to this word, and which is also very often, and the word is very often used in that sense, knowing, in the sense of I'm aware of that thing right now. I'm aware that I'm an eternal soul, and I'm not part of this world. I'm part of a bigger world, and I'm just having an experience in this world right now. And I'm actually related to Krishna in a loving way. So being aware of that is also an aspect of knowing. And in this Prabhupada writes, in this pure states of existence, he knows that he's meant to dovetail his activities in devotional service, and this is interesting, he writes, therefore, like based on knowing this, he or she engages him or herself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and becomes naturally attached, naturally unattached to the activities of the material senses. So there's something going on when we engage ourselves in devotional service. There a natural being unattached occurs. We naturally become unattached to the material world. So there's no like big effort in it. Naturally means it's like, yeah, it's just normal for us to not be so entangled in distracting thoughts or misery or material sentimentalism. So we are naturally on a higher level when we engage in devotional service. And and also what also is written in Srimad Bhagavatam is that another effect comes into play when we it's actually already enough to understand, okay, I have to do service to get to this understanding or to this awareness. I have to do service. If we then do service, then we get this detachment. We also get more of this awareness. It's automatic, and I'm sure every one of you has experienced this. Sometimes we're a little bit, am I going to go to the temple? Or I mean, right now, am I going to the online class? That's more practical right now. Maybe there's a little hesitancy, or I'm tired. I had a long day full of meetings or whatever. Hard physical work is also tiring, and there might not be so much energy. And there's a little bit like a little threshold we have to cross, and for this decision, and then we do it, and somehow we get enlivened and get some taste, and some feeling. Or actually, I'm Krishna's servant, and we feel it, and it's nice. It's nice to be with devotees. It's nice to be with this these topics, and this is actually knowledge that just arises. And Srimad Bhagavatam says it happens automatically. You don't even have to make an effort to go into it. I know now that I'm Krishna's servant. You do this by offering devotional service. You think of Krishna with that, but if you do this, then it happens naturally. So that is so nice, actually, that we get detachment and more of Krishna consciousness just by investing a little bit into it. So I wanted to go into a little bit into the question, what does it mean actually to do this engagement in devotional service? So there's two aspects. There's a practical aspect to it, and there's an internal and awareness focused or awareness consideration. I want to talk about the first one, about the last one first. So the last one is, and I believe you have heard verses like that many times. One verse goes Atashi Krishna Namadi and so on, which basically means that Krishna Nam Adi, that the name and everything what is Krishna is we cannot understand it by our material efforts. But we have to Sevan Mukhe Yajivaro. That means Sevan Mukhe is an interesting word. Seva, you know this term, that Seva means devotional service. And Mukhe means face. So if I turn to you, I have my face turned towards you guys, and Sevan Mukhe means I turn my face towards Seva, and that's an this is a statement about attitude. And this verse basically says, if you turn your face like, now let's say I'm looking towards my material environment, my problems, my job, my anxieties, my insecurities, my things I have to do, and if this is like where I'm absorbed in, and then I turn towards, like in this case you, and towards Seva, then I change my attitude. I don't neglect all these other things, but for now I turn my attention towards how can I make Krishna happy with what I'm doing right now. And this is just a switch, not in the head so much, actually in the heart. It's a switch of attitude. And this we can do in every moment. We have this as a soul, we have this freedom. It's a decision we can make at every moment. And also Krishna said that already a few verses before. These activities which a devotee does They might look totally the same, like the activities as the activities as a materialistic person does. It might be totally the same. The devotee goes to his or her job, goes shopping, goes to the doctor, lies down to rest, eats something, talks with friends. All these things, brushes teeth, sleeps, they can be done in the consciousness and in the attitude, I want to please Krishna, I want to please you, Krishna, with this. And they can be done in the attitude of, I have to do them, it's my duty, I'm afraid if I not do them, then something bad will happen, or I want to do them for my personal satisfaction, which the latter are material considerations, or based on ego, based on material ego, and the others. And you can do the same activities. I mean, to be honest, most of my time I'm doing all these activities from that position, but like gradually, by and by, this is changing if one just practices this, like this Sevan Mukhe, looking towards Krishna. Okay, there Krishna, there he is again. Vrindavan, there again. Devotees are there again, and now I'm refocusing. Maybe I'm in the midst of doing something, but I can refocus. I can just say, okay, I'm now doing this for the devotees, for Krishna, for Jagannath. The same thing, just doing it for them, and this makes all the difference. This is what Sevan Mukhe means, and Rupa Goswami. I don't have enough time, and I think we all don't have so much attention span for too much philosophy. I'm anyway very philosophical, but just as a reminder, there's this other verse, Atashi Kish, not I quoted this one already. The other one, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Kan Jnana Karma Anavritam Anukriyena Krishnanu Shidanam Bhakti Uttama. So this verse, you probably have heard it. Many of you might know it, or even know it by heart. It's in Nectar of Devotion. It's or in the book. It's based on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and some devotees say it's the most important verse in the whole Vedic literature, this verse. So if you don't know it, or haven't read it, or haven't read Srila Prabhupada's purports around this verse, he writes about this in his introduction, in Nectar of Devotion. I can highly recommend it. It's very clarifying, making clear what does it actually mean to do devotional service. Ah, Oliva, I see it. I think you're getting the book. It's very nice. So this is really, this verse very precisely and comprehensively also explains, what does this attitude of service mean. And why did I bring this up now? Is because I said in the beginning, or up to now, I said doing the things for Krishna. That's why, at least that's what I explicitly said. But what is very important is that we also have the desire that this pleases Krishna. It's not just, okay, now I do something for Krishna, something that pleases Krishna. And we actually have to desire to make Krishna happy, or another way of saying, and the Acharyas also use that word, just be kind to Krishna. Just express affection, be kind, and go more from an attitude consideration, and then think of what are you going to do or not to do. And then one gets this, then it makes it bhakti. And there's also some more consideration which makes it pure bhakti, but I won't dive into that. You can read that up in Nectar of Devotion. That's also very simple, actually. It's just two decisions we can also make in every second. But this intention, to actually want, actually to I want to see Krishna happy with this situation, with this action of mine, which is, or even with my attitude, or my not doing something. I just want to see him happy. This makes an activity bhakti. Just doing things that are like meant for Krishna's pleasure, like reading in the scripture or chanting Hare Krishna even. Just doing that is not bhakti. The intention has to be there. And yes, so yeah, and of course, practically we know what are the most powerful ways of doing devotional service, reading in the scriptures, coming together with devotees and listening about these Krishna Katha, and also of course the chanting of the holy name, which is our prime way to actually connect, to really like there. It's fascinating. It's almost ridiculous actually. You just focus a little bit. You just invest a little bit on okay, Krishna, please be happy with this one word, the first name of the mantra, Hare Krishna. And then you just like try for the rest of the mantra, and then just again for the first word, just be happy with this. In this case, not Krishna, Radharani. Radharani, please be pleased with this little effort. And this it goes so quick that one goes into the space where the mantra actually catches the mind, because that's what the meaning of the mantra is. It liberates the mind and catches it and takes the mind to another place. And depending on our realization, this place will be different, but it will be a spiritual place. And Sachinanda Swami gave a nice example in this connection. It goes like, it's a little bit like if you train a falcon, you first of all like bind the bird on the leg with a little cord on a kind of a pole, like a mast, and it will, if it's like new to the situation, if it just captured the falcon, it will just fly around, like try to get free and just like pull on the string, pull on the rope, maybe hurt itself a little bit, and will really struggle to get away from that. But after some time, it will just realize, okay, this is no use. I will just sit on this pole and just rest here. And then everything is calm. And this falcon is like the mind. It just takes some time. It will revolt and like for the rest of the mantra, just go everywhere and anywhere. But if we just try a little and invest just a little, then it becomes very much natural. And as Prabhupada says, this attachment to the material platform and to the mind becomes slackened, and then it's natural to stay there, to stay with Krishna. And I just have like 18 minutes left, and I just want to go quickly into the second part, the practical application. So we talk about attitude, what is devotional service, be in the seva attitude. This all sounds very nice, and some, like I'm just now speaking from the perspective of my own mind, and maybe you can sympathize with this. This sounds very nice, but right now I'm just tired, I'm worried, I'm anxious, I'm angry maybe, and I'm just in a different place right now. You know, okay, I know I should have this attitude now, or want to have, but somehow it doesn't work. So it's not really something we can decide on a minute-to-minute basis. We cannot just always decide that to be there. So Prabhupada says that he therefore engages himself. Therefore is like, he points to this knowledge. Okay, now I know that I'm a devotee, and in my eternal essence, I know that I'm a soul. I know, I read it, I have heard it 1,000 times. I know that I'm Krishna's servant. I'm not only meant to roam around in my job situation or private situation. That's not my only existence. I'm actually something deeper. I know that. But and he says, and therefore he engages himself. So this engagement also means to actually, and this is the point I want to come to, the person tries to set up his or her life in a way that this actually works. So there's different things we can do. We all know this. We can try to get up early, like, and be rested. We can set up the alarm clock. We can also take care that we go to bed early enough so that we are actually well rested and we can do something in the early morning, not only sit like there and do this. Or we can set aside some time in the evening to read 3 verses of Bhagavatam, just have a routine, and we can decide to, okay, every second Saturday I'm just blocked. This is the Saturday feast or the Saturday lecture online now. This is just blocked. This is things we can decide. The attitude in the here and now is hard to decide sometimes. But we can decide what is the setting in which we live our lives. We can just make arrangements that no other appointments come in, that in the evening we don't have too many things to do, that we can actually go to bed early, that it's actually possible. This, we can just make a plan, sit down, make it work. So this is one aspect I wanted to bring also to this discussion, because I think this is something we often miss, that we can actually, there are actually things we can systematize, and we can do it in a systematic way, and we can actually decide upon that. And we should actually use this opportunity to actually design our life in a way that it serves our what we understood about our own life, and that we can have the time to then sit down and then do these things, engage in devotional service, and then get drawn into the devotional attitude as well. So because often it just needs some time that we can have peace and just chant, not only like around here and around there, and just have a little peace, and just as far as possible. Of course, there's different circumstances we are in all, but just there's always a frame where we can decide some things and create spaces which are more favorable than if you would just leave it to chance every day. So this is, yes, I think something important we often miss, that we have the decision to decide some things, and then if you fill this with sadhana, then we are drawn into where we actually want to be. And so, yeah, so just to sum up a little bit, and then I want to open a little bit up for discussion and questions. So there's a difference between material and spiritual activities. And spiritual activities means, according to Prabhupada and Krishna, that one is not engaged in with sense gratification in the material sense, but is engaged in devotional service and realizes one's, or is aware of one's relationship with Krishna at that time. And there's so this is has an aspect of attitude with it, and it also has practical aspects which we can design in our day-to-day life. So I'm going to switch to the Zoom app and see if we have got any questions. I'm just thinking, are we 15 people? Maybe it's good if you... Well, actually, you can also unmute your microphone and just ask your question. Let's try with that. Then everyone can hear. Hare Krishna, Indra. Hare Krishna. Okay. Hi Krishna. I gotta say, I woke myself up by talking this thing, and it's actually, it's really just it's you association of all of you and also the topic and just a little comment on the side. Also, I think it relates nicely to the point of association that Rupa Goswami made in one of his books. I think is Vidakta Madhava. He said that just like the water which touches like the Shalakamshila by bathing it, the topics of Krishna Katha, they purify, and this water is purified and becomes Charanamrita. In the same way, the normal words, like because they touch Krishna as a topic, they become something valuable, something important, something spiritual. So that's what's actually going on. So but yeah, thank you. I think it's this is what really happens in the association of devotees. Yeah. Thank you for your comment. Is there any other question or comment? Hare Krishna. Yes, I can hear well. Okay. I'd like to comment on that also. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. It's I think very very valuable point which you made that this sometimes we've and this is what like resonated with me. It seems like we are not so much into awareness, or we are not at least not quite sure about what that means for us. And actually the word yoga means. And we are talking about bhakti yoga here, and this means connection, and the connection between spiritual things has to be on the platform of consciousness, because the spiritual thing is consciousness, and the verse I hinted at from Bhagavatam, I think it's I can actually look it up. It's no, I can't. I don't find it again. It's in the second chapter of the first canto. It actually says that this is this Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, is a non-dual substance. It's actually the absolute truth. And if we want to connect on that level, then we have to be conscious. We have to connect our consciousness with the supreme consciousness. And this is not possible by anything external in any way. It has to be awareness, it has to be attitude, it has to be connecting with affection and a service attitude. I think what people can learn from the devotees is that it's not just about being aware, because that's all the hype you talked about, just being aware, being mindful, and being mindful how I feel, how is my body, how is my emotions. And it's also important. I think it's actually an aspect of sattva gun, because Krishna says also in Gita that all gates of knowledge are illuminated with knowledge. That's actually a sign of awareness, or awareness is another word of saying that. And so that's actually sattva gun. But what we have to offer as devotees is actually going far beyond that. We are aware of our deepest identity, and in relation to the supreme consciousness. So it's very important. And sometimes we seem to think that just doing the external things, going through the motions, doing like our prescribed sadhana, or what we have vowed once upon a time, long time ago, that just doing that is helping us to get closer to Krishna. But it's helping us indirectly. But what is really helping is attitude, these small moments where we can actually connect. So. Hare Krishna. We still have officially 3 more minutes. If someone has another comment or question or something you want to say, still have some time. Okay, then if there's no question or comment, I'm adding something. I mentioned that this attitude, doing things for Krishna, is most essential. This makes our doing things for Krishna actually bhakti, namely doing things for Krishna and wanting him to be happy. This makes it bhakti, and engaging our senses in it. So there's like 3 aspects to it, technically speaking. And there are these 2 other things which I mentioned, and there are 2 decisions. The first decision is that if I only do this, like doing things, being kind to Krishna, doing things favorable is abstract, like what I explained, and with this attitude, if I only do this, then all my issues, problems, aspirations, desires, deepest longings will all be fulfilled. This is a decision we can make. We can think about it. Will this actually work if I just do devotional service? Will this dissolve my ultimate aspirations? And if you say, oh, yeah, yes, I believe that. I'm deciding that this is my way. I'm not going to trust in any other process. So that's one decision that makes bhakti pure bhakti. And the other decision is that I no other desires. I may still have other desires in life. I might want a partner, I might want more money, I might want this or that change in my life situation. We can have these desires. They are still material. They are based on our material setting, or directed towards our material setting. But we can have them. It's no obstacle for pure devotion. Pure devotion is service. But we have to decide that that these will never be more important to me than making Krishna happy. This is a decision we can also make. No? If we can pursue both things, it's possible. It's also necessary. You know, if I want to survive in my body, I need to eat. So I might have the desire to eat something, or to cook something, or to go shopping, or have money for going shopping, or having a job to earn that money. These are natural desires we have as a being in this world. But just deciding this will never be more important to me, at least in my heart. I might not always be able to act on this level, but make this decision, This will never be more important than pleasing Krishna. And if you make these two additional decisions, this one and the decision, this process of bhakti is sufficient. I don't need knowledge. I don't need renunciation to reach Krishna or make him happy. I don't need to be a superstar or have money or any other qualifications. This is enough for me. So these two decisions, this makes bhakti pure devotion. And we can, and this is practice. It's not like the goal, but this enables us to have our practice on the pure level, and this is way more powerful than without these decisions. But to like cook it down, the most important thing is to desire Krishna's happiness. So I'm a little bit over time now. So I thought I'd share this again with you. I think I said it some time already, but I thought it might be helpful. Okay, so I don't want to stretch the time box anymore. It was really nice seeing you, although I really would appreciate it more if we can meet in person soon again and sing also kirtan together. But maybe this time is also an opportunity to increase our eagerness for exactly this. So thank you very much, and see you soon. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol, thank you. Hare Krishna.